Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. As Pastor Gary was saying, we've had the pleasure of knowing Pastor Gary and his wife Lori for many years. We wish we could get out to the lake more often, but we're pretty busy in Guadalajara. And if you're ever in Guadalajara and you need a place to stay, or you know, you're kind of wondering what to do, or you get stuck in Guadalajara or something, just let us know. We're there in case you need us. But thank you, Pastor. Thank you for this beautiful opportunity. So I know that the 30th of this month on Tuesday, it's a big celebration here in Mexico. Ever since we've come, kids have always been a big deal, and we've always celebrated it. It's always been piñatas and candy and hamburgers and hot dogs. But I never really took the time until preparing for this to find out where it came from, really. Anybody want to know where it came from? Okay. History lovers out there? Okay. So I looked it up, and it originated back in 1925. And it started at the first World Conference for the Well-Being of Children in Geneva, Switzerland. So that's how it started. And then in 1954, the Mexican government declared that the 30th of April every year is going to be designated for Día del Niño, to honor, respect, and to promote the well-being of children all over Mexico. And which is beautiful, beautiful. It sounds wonderful in theory, but it shouldn't just be one day out of the year. It should be every single day that we are looking for, and we are making an effort to promote the well-being of children here in Mexico. And that should be our heart, because it's God's heart, really. It's God's heart that children, youth, adults, everyone would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you can get them when they're young, it's even better, right? So as Pastor was saying, for the last 20 years here in Mexico, we've been missionaries. And I don't know about you, or I don't know how long you've been here, but most of the time, and maybe you had this situation when you were living in the United States or Canada, but when you met people, it didn't matter if they were Christians or not Christians, a lot of people have this philosophy of, we are all God's children. Have you ever heard that? Right? When you approach people and, oh, well, you know, we're all God's children. Peace and love. Sounds great. But that's not exactly what the Word of God says. So we're going to look at that today a little bit. And I don't know, maybe you've come in with that concept a little bit of, yes, we are all God's children. I don't know how true or false you might think that is, but we're going to look at that today. And we're going to discover what the Word of God says about that. So if you'll turn with me, or up on the pantalla, we have, I might throw in a couple of Spanish words here and there. I can't promise that I'll try to, on the screen. So it's a little long, but it's really important, because it's very different than what the world teaches us. And I want to make sure that we see it today. So if you'll go with me, or if not, it's up here on the screen. It says, see how very much our Father loves us, for we are called His children, and that is what we are. We are the people, but the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but He has not yet shown us what He will be like when Christ appears. What we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is one day. Amen? And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as He is pure. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the Word of God. I'm just going to take a pause real quick right there. You know, in the States and even here now, nobody really wants to talk about sin. You know, it's kind of like, well, you have a personal issue, or maybe it's something you're, you know, it's a sickness, or it's this, or, you know, it's people don't really want to say that word because we might offend somebody, but the Bible is very clear here. And it says, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And if you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him, anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, do not let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Thank you, Jesus. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. So the question this morning is, who do you belong to? It doesn't matter if you're a child. I know we're focusing on children today, but it doesn't matter if you're a child or if you're an adult. You have to belong to someone, right? So if you are a child of God, if you do belong to Christ, then you should. These are some things that you should have or should be seen in you, right? You should be born again or saved. You should be adopted into God's family. You should be a disciple of Christ. You should be following the word of God. You should be an heir of God and a co-heir and co-heirs with Christ, transformed by the renewing of your mind, hopefully, right? An imitator of God, and you should be doing what is right. That's how we can distinguish who your dad is, right? So let's go to John, 1 John 2, 28 and 29. It says, and now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. So, we can tell. We can tell who are God's children and who are not God's children. So, how many of you, when you were a child, you were always being taught something? Right? You remember, everybody was trying to teach you something. At home, you had your parents. You had, in my case, older brothers and sisters. At church, Sunday school, in regular school, you had teachers. Everybody, when you were a child, when you were growing up, somebody was always trying to teach you something. I don't know anybody else here who is the baby of the family. I was the baby of the family. I had an older brother and an older sister, and they loved to be in charge of me. They loved teaching me things, right? Some things I didn't want to learn, but there were other things I'm very grateful for. My brother, who's 5 years older than I am, my sister's 10 years older than I am, so I was definitely the baby. But my brother taught me how to swim. My brother taught me how to ride a bike, how to ride a motorcycle, how to skate backwards. He tried to teach me how to play tennis, but that didn't last long at all. His patience had run out. But so you have everybody trying to teach you something, and then you reach a point where you think you know it all, right? My boys were about 17 when they discovered that they knew everything, right? So now at 55, I'm still learning. I'm still being taught. And we should all be learning, right? We never stop learning. It doesn't matter what age you are, we're still learning. And we don't have the textbook anymore, right, in school, but we have this wonderful history book, textbook, life manual, right? This is our guide, the guidebook. And who is now our teacher, or who should be our teacher? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never stops being our teacher. If you asked Christ to come into your life and you asked God to be your Father, your Heavenly Father, you always have a teacher, no matter how old you are. So the Holy Spirit and our guidebook should always be learning. How many of you liked being in school when you were growing up? Some people loved school. Other people didn't like it so much, right? Other people, you just thrived in school. You woke up in the morning and you were like, oh, I'm going to go off to school. And then there's other kids that are, I got to go to school. So some people liked going to school. Did you realize that we're still in school? We're in the school of life every single day. Whether we like it or not, we got to get up in the morning and go to school, the school of life. And in school, just like we keep doing every day, either we're listening or we're not listening, right? We're either obeying or we're not obeying. We either have a good attitude or we have a bad attitude. We can either be nice or we can be mean, just like in school. How many years later, we're still facing the same things. In Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you will not be doing what your sinful nature craves. I'll say it again. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. We are all guided by something or someone. And I hope we're allowing the Holy Spirit to be our guide. So if I have a bad attitude, which my husband knows I can have those once in a while, right? And if I feel like being mean, if I give in to that, I am not being guided by the Holy Spirit. I am being guided and directed by my sinful nature. That's how it works, right? So if you, I wanted to read this. I found one of these in the commentary in the Fire Bible, but I just wanted to, it was so beautiful the way it was written. And it says, if you belong to God, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and to guide you. The Holy Spirit works to illuminate the truth already revealed in God's word, helping believers to apply this truth, to apply that truth to their lives in practical ways. Right? So all of this is very practical. It's not something far-fetched, far-reached where you're like, yeah, you know what? It's not for me. It doesn't make sense. I can't relate. Absolutely. It hasn't changed in thousands of years because human nature hasn't changed, right? So it should be seen in, and the following slide says, that it should be seen in these things, in these areas in each one of our lives. Applying the truth of the Word of God in practical ways in our lives. So it should be seen in how we view God. We shouldn't have the same perspective of God as the world has. God should look very different for us than other people. How do we treat others? What comes out of our mouths? How we react when things don't go our way? What do we do with our time? Our attitudes? How we view our faults and failures? Some of us have a hard time looking in the mirror and saying, you know what? I was at fault. You know what? That didn't work because I made mistakes. We're really used to pointing the finger at somebody else and realizing what they did wrong. Because it's not easy to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I really goofed up there. We're all guilty, right? How we spend our resources. A lot of times we can see how much of the Word of God we have in us depending on how we spend our time and money, right? Well, God, you can have this part of my life, but I'm going to keep this part. What we choose to dwell on. Oh, this one's a big one. Because we can look happy on the outside. We can look put together, right? We can look put together on the outside, but in here, and in here, there's a major struggle going on. And God wants us to rely on Him and not believe the lies of the enemy, not let the enemy keep bringing back things, your failures or your decisions that you made from the past or whatever it is. What are you dwelling on? What do you choose to dwell on? The Holy Spirit will help you to dwell on the right things, right? So being a child of God is one of the greatest revelations that we can see in the New Testament, right? It's amongst the highest honors and privileges of our salvation. When you say, I am saved, I have been bought with a price. With that comes, I am a child of God. I have Jesus Christ as my brother, and God is my father. What a privilege. The world doesn't get to say that. Those that accept Christ as their Savior, they get to say that. We get to say that. God is my father. And maybe you didn't have the greatest father here on earth. Maybe, you know, not everybody gets a great dad. Some people really struggled in life with not having a great father or a great, you know, home life situation. But we have a great father. We've been adopted into a wonderful family. But remember, not everyone has been adopted into that family. Not everyone has God as their father. Although people out there will say, we're all God's children. Peace and love. You know, we're all God's children. That's not what John, in the first book of John, we'll go back for a second. It says, not everyone is a child of God. And if you do not belong to God, what is the alternative? Let's read. Let's go back. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the... That sounds harsh, doesn't it? I thought we are all children of God. That's not what the Bible says. You have to choose one or the other. The devil, who has been sinning since the beginning, he's been doing the wrong thing since the very beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy, I love this, destroy the works of the devil. So now, verse 10, so now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously does not love God or does not love other believers and does not belong to God. Well, I think John made it really clear right there. I don't think there should be a doubt in our minds about what the difference is. There is a huge difference. Over the years, in the last 6 years, because of the ministry out in the neighborhood of El Coli in Zapopan, which is, you know, 10 minutes from our house, we've been in that neighborhood, as Pastor was saying, for 17 years doing a kids program. And out of that came a ministry of drug and alcohol rehab centers, because one of our girls who was there for all her childhood and then became the teenager and so forth at about the age of 19 started getting involved with the wrong people, the wrong crowd, started doing drugs, alcohol, and then it was really bad. It was really bad. The mom, she grew up in an abusive situation with the father, and the mom had left with the seven girls and got them away from the dad. And so here are seven girls, a lot of them not going to school because they would drop out of school and getting into trouble. And so I went to the mom, the very poor situation, and I said to the mom, we have to help Katya. If we don't help Katya, she's going to die. I mean, she was skin and bone. She was a mess. And so through that, we found a rehab center, and thank the Lord for missions money. We helped to put her through and sponsor her for 8 months, and she came out clean, and she's, you know, got a very different life. Thank you, Jesus. But through that, God opened the doors to 12 different, now up to this point, 12 different rehab centers. I get texts on my phone, hey, I hear that you do this. Can you come to our rehab center? So God used that terrible situation for his glory, for his good. But now we've been in, Joel and Stephanie, they go weekly and do discipleship, but we're in these rehab centers, and, you know, a lot of them, most of them, if you ask them, how many of you are hijos de Dios, children of God? Most of them are going to raise their hand. I am. Now, maybe because they have a tattoo of the cross on them, they believe that they're, you know, a child of God. But maybe they've been told their whole lives, you're a child of God, you're a child of God, you know. But the way that they have lived their lives would completely tell the other way. We have a couple of rehab centers that are women, just women. Some are boys that are minors, girls that are minors. And a lot of these women that are in the female rehab centers have lived as prostitutes. They have done a lot of crazy things in their lives. And yet they would perceive themselves as, I am a child of God. What you say and what you do have to coincide. So little by little, we've been trying to teach them the difference between who is a child of God and what it means to be a child of the enemy. So just wanted to highlight this real quick. Oh, so one of the moms, before I tell you that, before I mention this verse, one of the moms in the Coley, one day at the program, I see her kind of standing over there. She had a kind of like this sad look on her face, and I went over to her, and I said, Juana, how you doing? She's like, not too good. What's going on? And she was kind of telling me her troubles and different things that was happening and all sad. And she said, you know, I really feel like God's not listening to me. And I've been praying, and I feel like my prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling, and they're not going anywhere. And I had to look at her, and I had to say, it's because they're not. I said, you're pretending as though God is your father, but he's not. And I said, Juana, you've never made that commitment. You have to make a commitment. You have to give your life over to God. And with that comes responsibilities. You can't live just however you want. And there, I know, because I've been to her house. I know what goes on. I know what decisions she makes. And her choices are very far from what God teaches. And it breaks your heart because you're saying, you know what? If you could just learn, if you could just accept Christ as your Savior and ask God to be your Father, things would look very different. But in her mind is, I'm a child of God. So in verse 10, and this slide says, that we can tell who belongs to whom. So if you belong to God, your life should bear proof of your adoption. You can't act like somebody that you're not, right? I have two boys. They're grown. One is married, lives in Springfield, Missouri. The other is at Liberty University and has one more year. He's going to finish out this year and has one more year. But Nathaniel, when Nathaniel was born, he is the oldest. When he was born, he looked just like Chris. You know, the baby pictures, he looks just like Chris. He has Chris's eyes. And at school, people would be like, oh, you must be Chris's son, you know, he was easy to identify. And little by little, as he grew up, as he got older, not only did he look like his dad, but he thought like him a lot. He had some of the same mannerisms. And then one day I was kind of walking behind the two of them and I was like, oh my goodness, they walk exactly alike, you know? So we all have something. That's just how it works, right? We all have something that resembles our dad or our mom. And it's natural. It's natural to resemble or emulate or emulate your father, right? Each one of you have something about you that resembles your dad, whether you knew them or not, right? We all have something that kind of resembles our dad. I have a Norwegian nose. My dad is 100% Norwegian. And they all have these long, big noses. So, you know, I have my father's nose. We all, you know, we all do, and it's kind of, we all laugh about it. Have the heart-shaped face like my dad. This might not be necessarily because, you know, my dad is my dad, but we both love coffee ice cream. I personally wanted to become a missionary because I watched my dad. I watched my dad love people and preach the gospel and make missions exciting. And I said, that's what I want to do when I grow up. Right? So it's really important, the relationship that we have with our Father. And I don't know how many of you in going through your albums, but there's a moment where we all think it's cute and we take that picture in time when the kids try to wear dad's shoes, And here you have this little kid, this little toddler, and he's wearing dad's shoes. And he's walking around and you, oh, get a picture, that's so cute, you know. And whether we like it or not, we all have something that reflects our dad in some way. Now, unfortunately, some people have had a really bad example of a father here on earth. But we're talking today about reflecting our Father in heaven and his character, his desires, his heart, his compassion, reflecting what our Father in heaven has for us, right? In Ephesians 5:1, it says that we are to be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. God is love. He's the author of love. He's the one who created love, right? We have a very distorted, perverted image in the world of love, right? We've all heard of love is love, right? And what God has given us as love, the world has taken it and made it look very different. And I just wanted to remind us today of what it's supposed to look like, because the world really doesn't know what they're talking about. How can they describe or how can they tell us what love is when they don't have the author of love in their lives? They don't know God. And he's the one who gives love. He's the one who created it. So I just wanted to remind us a little bit today in Corinthians. I know we have heard this part of scripture many times. You know, if you've gone to a wedding or it's on a wall somewhere, and, oh, it's pretty. But I want us to just remember for a minute, if the Bible says we are to walk in this, just wanted to remind us what we're supposed to walk in, right? God says love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not, ready? Irritable. I can get irritable. Or resentful. It does not rejoice at doing what is wrong, but rejoices with the truth. One version, it says, it doesn't keep record of wrong. It doesn't keep record of when people have offended you. How many nights of lost sleep have we lost because we're all worked up about somebody offending us? God wants us to walk in love, right? So if we say that we are a child of God, we're to walk very different than the world. And this slide, it shows to us what we should be walking in, right? So when we're a child of God, I am a child of God, the living God. And because I choose him as my father, I'm going to walk in these things. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in truth. I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to walk in forgiveness, humility, courage, and ultimately victory. There's one there that's missing, though, that I thought about later. What would you think it would be? Those are all wonderful. But we are to walk in obedience. Obedience is really important. That's how the world can identify us as children of the living God, is we are walking in obedience to him. Now, we're not perfect. Anybody here perfect? No? None of us are. But just like the Holy Spirit instructing us, leading us, guiding us, there's moments where we're weak, right? We haven't had that first cup of coffee in the morning. We're feeling kind of weak. But really, we don't have any good excuse. We have the ultimate example. Some of us did not have a very good example growing up. We have the best example to follow. And so the next slide, the people that do not belong to God, the people that do not have Christ as their co-heir, as their brother,
someone that has never made a commitment with God, sadly, this is what they're walking in most of the time. They're walking in fear and anxiety, in hate, in darkness, in doubt, condemnation, resentment, deception, discouragement. Why would I want to walk in that when I can walk in what God has for me? But there's so many people that walk in that every day, and that's their normal. This is my normal. This is my everyday. And it doesn't have to be that way. Would you close your eyes with me this morning? Maybe you call yourself a child of God, and you can honestly say in your heart, God is my Father. And you have a beautiful relationship with Him. And He loves it. He loves it when you spend time with Him. He loves it when you come near to Him and you sit at His feet and you want to be like Him. And you allow Him to make you more like Him. But maybe lately you haven't resembled Him very well. You haven't resembled His likeness lately to those around you. Maybe you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to teach you and to guide you. Maybe you've been caught up in doing your own thing and your routine. Your precious Heavenly Father is calling you back today. And He wants you to reflect Him wherever you go. He wants you to be more like Him in every aspect of your life, even down to what you think. And just say, God, my precious Father, teach me. I want to be teachable. I don't want to be a know-it-all. I know I still have things to learn. I know there's still more. God, I need you to teach me. Holy Spirit, teach me every day. Every day, every day. Thank you, God. And maybe you're here today and you're a creation of God, but you're not a child of God. And you have never made that decision in your heart to ask God to forgive you and to take away your sins and to be adopted into God's family. You can do that today. You've been walking in a lot of things. Things that have made life miserable for you. And God can set you free today. Today's your day of opportunity. God is saying, I want you to be in my family. Won't you be my child today? And when you choose to follow God, belong to God, you're going to walk in some beautiful things. Even when tough times come, even when hurt and pain come, even as we sang today, the flood and the sorrows come, you're still going to be able to walk in the things that God has for you because you are His child. So you're either making a new commitment today or you're renewing a commitment today or you're just basking in the beautiful thought of, wow, I have the honor and the privilege of being a child of the Heavenly Father. If you are a child of God this morning, can you just raise your hands and give Him thanks? He's been a good dad. He's been a good father. God, I love being your child. God, you've been so good to me. In the good times, in the bad times, I can always count on you. Thank you for lifting me up. You're a good dad. And if you don't know Jesus today, you can raise your hands and surrender and say, Jesus, I need you. I do want to be a child of God. I've been doing my own thing long enough, and I need you, God. I need you, God, in my life. I want to call you Daddy. I want the benefits of being adopted into your family. I want to see you reflected in my life. I want others to see that I am a child of God. I want to imitate you, God, in my life, in my speech, in my thoughts. Holy Spirit, be my guide. Holy Spirit, lead. Lead my steps, lead my thoughts. Be my teacher. Love you today, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's a decision that we make every single day to decide to follow our Father God. You know, the church for years has had a ministry where we've worked with orphanages. And, you know, it's devastating at times to see the effects of a drug abusing father, mother on the life of a child. But you know what's crazy along the same lines is that oftentimes those children still keep wanting to go back to that. And then in the orphanage, there may be an opportunity for one to be adopted out. And they're joyful about going and getting adopted out, but then there could be still that call and that tug of the heart from the old, if you will. And there has to come a time where there's a decision to just cut it off. Because it ended up with they're just pulling down. They're just going to take them to the wrong location. And we were all born into this world, and we have a sinful nature. And there's times when even after we've been adopted by God, the devil calls us up. And what do? Mistakenly, we answer the phone. First of all, I'm going to tell you, put caller ID on and never answer it. But if he changes his number and gets through somehow, make sure you hang up as quickly as you can. Because listening to the old father is not going to accomplish anything in your life that you want. And so we listen to Jesus and we allow him to speak to us. But it's a decision we make. And I want to encourage you, make sure that you're ready to hang up on the devil and that you go running to Father God and say, God, I have this issue. You see this phone, it keeps ringing, and it's the old. Help me with this. You know what? He can give you a new phone. He can restore our lives. And he rewrites, if you will, our programming as we have a transformation of our minds. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. Lord, we thank you. And we ask that you bless us. Teach us. How? Give us strength and courage to hang up when our old, that old father that was no good and was leading us down a path of destruction. Even when our tendency was to duplicate and walk and talk and act like him. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would cut that off and that we would walk and talk and act like you. Lord, I thank you that some have had great experiences with their earthly fathers, showing them, while others a poor example, but we all look and have our eyes on you for you to be our constant example, and we will imitate you for all of our lives. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, this week is a unique week, just to let you know that Labor Day in Mexico lands on Wednesday. And since all of us are workers for Jesus, I'm expecting to see you at Bible study at 11 a.m. Now, you may find that your gardener doesn't show up that day, or you may find that the bank is closed. So nobody's going to have a reason to say, I was stuck in line at a bank because Wednesday is a national holiday. But we will be here in Bible study at 11 a.m. I'll see you then. God bless you.